D'October. Never heard that song before, have you, Natalie?
I have not.
Gilbert Bécaud. Great French chanson singer.
Yeah,
all right. Hey, welcome back to the program. Thank you, especially for you. I don't know what he's singing, but
it sounds good, though.
Sounds good. No, sounds he's singing so good. About, he's on the Red Square, actually, in Russia, and his guide is Natalie, and she shows him around. And so anyway.
A perfect guide.
Perfect guide. That's right. Beautiful and all. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the program, Gesundheit with Jacobus. We are at the halfway mark. We're moving back to the starting line. With us, Natalie Gonzalez and Carol Wilcock, who has a master's. She's a master's in nursing and a doctor in alternative medicine. And they are with Dynamic Health Technologies. That is the website also, dynamichealthtechnologies.com in Helena. And if you like to contact them, it's 406-431-7332. 431-7332. One of the things we definitely want to discuss today is some of the, first of all, when I have both ladies, professionals, health professionals in the studio, it is always difficult for me to actually get going on the on the topic and then trying to finish it because there's so much we want to talk about.
I don't think we've ever finished a topic, have we?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
so either. 8 shows and I don't think we've ever finished a darn thing.
No, we haven't.
We have a perpetual conversation.
That's right. We do. And that is why,
should
you know,
be.
3 hours is not, try 3 hours is not the problem. So Carol Wilcock, Natalie Gonzalez with me on Gesundheit with Jacobus today. Give us a call if you are interested in asking a question. So I would say we can interweave what we talked about before, but let's talk about some of the myths and misunderstandings. And I made a list, but I think the two of you made a list as well.
Good.
What?
You go first.
Well, I tell you, if I pick one of these, we are going to be in trouble.
How about if we talk about lab accuracy?
Well, that is correct. And I another one. So let me tell you a few that I wrote down.
Maybe they can call in and tell you to
false diagnostics,
right?
Hormonal imbalances that are misdiagnosed, and then pituitary disorders that go with it. Do we have surgery or no surgery? Can we do without surgery? Is surgery promoted by the surgeons because that's what they do? And and also this whole thing, we have all these mass shootings been going on. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, these people, they make it a political game, but these people are either fighting depression, suicide, homicide, medications. Yeah. Many times they're on medications for something. And I would like to talk about that. What is the myth here and what is the misunderstanding? And vaccines, I'm worried about the vaccines. I'm not taking this lightly. I don't care if somebody says, well, they've cleaned up the act, they're all clean right now. I don't think that is the case, and we have too many of them, and they're mandated, and they freak people out, and it becomes a political thing. And you see, we have Montanans for Vaccine Choice, and we have seen the movie Vaxxed, and we've had those people on the radio show as well. So people have young children, they want to take them to preschool, now they need to be vaccinated even when they go to preschool. And now with all the measles going on in the East Coast, we say, oh, we got to vaccinate, and anyway, it happens to those who have been vaccinated, but that's not what everybody wants to hear. So let's talk about that, but maybe get our caller on first. Good morning, caller. Thanks for joining the program today. What is your name and how can we help you, please?
Yeah, let me shut the radio down a little bit here.
That'd be awesome.
AC here, and I got a question about hemp oil for stress, you know. And
yes.
Maybe like valerian, lavender, some of that stuff. If you know, is that as good as going for a walk in the forest or having a good laugh, you know?
Interesting.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, you do? Is that it? So you want to know about hemp oil or you want to know about valerian and lavender?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how we can discuss it, AC. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Bye. Well, there you go.
All right. Well, CBD oil, let's start with that. There are some really good studies that show that CBD oil is great for decreasing anxiety. There were some studies that showed its effectiveness for helping people to sleep. And it was interesting because they measured the sleeping patterns of these people, and they didn't actually show that the sleeping patterns were longer or better, or they took less time to go to sleep. But the perception of the person was that they slept better. And so, in that regard, CBD oil has been shown to be really effective for both anxiety and sleep.
Have you found any really great research on dosing? Because this is something, I had one client who came in and she was like, CBD doesn't work. I took 1,000 milligrams and then it just stopped working.
Well,
and
first of
like,
all,
oh my gosh.
First of all, it's what you're using it for. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that it's sometimes helpful in terms of pain, say somebody who has chronic pain, one of the components of pain is anxiety. And the more anxious a person, the more their perception of pain. And we use a lot of things in medicine to diminish anxiety. And you can see a direct effect on the effectiveness of a pain medication or pain control when they're just a little bit more relaxed. And so, you know, it depends a little bit on what the CBD oil is being used for in terms of whether it's still working for them or not and what the dose is. A lot of what I've studied is CBD use, oil use in certain psychiatric disorders in which we might use something else. We might use maybe they've been on an antidepressant or an anxiolytic medication. And sometimes you can use CBD oil and it can be highly effective in minimal doses, yeah. Really, and much more effective than those actual prescription drugs.
Right, right. So I have found, I found one study that was, and this I've just used as a guide and it seems to be really accurate. And you, Jacobus, I'm sure you have information on this as well.
Yeah, a lot of information.
Right. So that's, what I found was 0 to 5 milligrams for anxiety or stress response, 5 to 10 for mild pain, 10 to 15 for moderate pain, and 15 to 20 for more severe or chronic pain. So is that similar to what you found?
Does
that sound?
It sounds similar to what I'd recommend
to. Seen? Okay.
Yes. I think part of it is we're learning as we go.
Right.
Well, because this has been an explosion in the last few years. I remember
also
a few years ago that Sanjay Gupta had a special on CBD on one of the health shows in which he was talking about the girl with all the epileptic seizures in Colorado and where they were using the CBD high potency for her, and her seizures went from 40 or 50 a day to about 2 a week or something, or 1 or 2 a day. Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing. And then he said, well, my research shows there's really no danger to this product. And so that all of a sudden started to make it grow like crazy.
Right.
And now with the law, the farm law, the farm bill that allows people to grow industrial hemp, all of a sudden CBD companies are sprouting everywhere. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. So in a way, research has been done. But how much research, how much we really can do with this is amazing. And as I mentioned earlier in the commercial, the whole endocannabinoid system, the endo-internal cannabinoid system that receives cannabinoids runs almost parallel with our nervous system.
Right.
And so it was discovered in 1988 by this Israeli scientist who was working with cannabis, sativa, and discovered that a certain system was being awakened. So he called it, because he was using cannabis, he said, we call it the cannabinoid system. But there is cannabinoids in all kinds of foods. It doesn't have to come out of hemp, but it is the highest concentration probably in the hemp product. Okay. The other thing is that what you have is that the plant itself holds about 100 different cannabinoids, and it also holds terpenes. It is a full spectrum plant, like everything in nature is full spectrum. And so there are companies who you put on the label maybe hemp oil. And then people say, well, is it CBD or is it hemp? No, it is actually a full complex. It has CBD in it. And you'll find on the label there is 3 milligrams of CBD per 5 drops or 10 drops. Right. So then people say, oh, that's not much. No, but you have all the, you have the CBGs and CBA, CBB, you have the CBN, you have the different, they have some THC 0.3% or less in there as well. And so you can get certificate of analysis of the crops that they have. But now you start looking at, oh, what are the other things then? Well, they all have an effect on the cannabinoid system. So the cannabinoid system simply has these receptor sites that just open and close. And because they've been asleep for so long, it is oftentimes better to start with a lower potency, maybe a 3, 4, 5 milligram, right, but do that 4 times a day so that you get, you wake it up and it starts to respond. If you pour water on a drain that is locked, the drain won't take it, you know, but if you drip it and you turn the drain open, everything will just simply move. Yeah. So we need to open up this cannabinoid system. Yeah. Waking it up.
System. Yeah.
And I think that is a way to go. And I hear that from different people that say small dosages throughout the day is the better way to go than just one all at night. But some people have pain, like you mentioned, and they like to take 100 milligram, and some people like to vape it, and some people like to suck on it, or they like to have a chewable or whatever. So the options are plentiful.
Well, and the delivery system is going to make a difference how they absorb it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're doing a transdermal patch or sublingual, that's going to be a different absorption than if you actually are taking it in internally.
In a capsule.
Yes, as a capsule.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially so, depending on your effectiveness of your digestive system.
So as far as that is concerned, you know, I really hope, AC, that that answers your question. As far as valerian and lavender have a very calming effect on the body. Valerian calms the mind and it calms the muscles. So don't use it during the day when you have to drive or when you have to operate heavy equipment. You don't want to fall asleep by there. But if you take it in the evening, it should be able to calm the mind and the body and makes you sleep better at night. So as far as knowing valerian is the raw material for Valium, then you realize it can be used for the anxieties and for stress. But there is a time and a place for that. And otherwise, yeah, meditation, prayer, therapy, getting your B vitamins in, taking your minerals, many times we're just simply depleted, taking your fats, your essential fats that go to the brain, that help the brain heal, staying away from too much sugar, which also activates the brain, just drives the brain crazy.
Yeah.
So there are things that you should avoid and there are things that you should take.
Yeah. I think it's important to realize too, when you're dealing with a whole hemp product or a whole valerian or lavender or spinach, for that matter, everything in nature has that wholeness to it, and it's going to interact with our bodies differently, each person, and it's going to affect us differently, and we're going to utilize what we need from that in a unique way. And there's everything is so complex, and just by bringing in those whole things that work for you.
Yeah.
For me, lavender feels like handcuffs. I can't tolerate it at all.
Interesting.
It's very restrictive to me. It's like a depressant. It's too much. The only lavender I really enjoy is driving past a certain mountain in the mountains up by Lincoln. And there's a whole hillside that blooms in lavender and I'll just drive past it and walk and enjoy that fresh lavender scent. And
yeah,
I'm good for the year.
Yeah.
That's my dose. I can't put it in my bath. I can't. It's just, it's very irritating for me.
Yeah.
And it's like a sedative that's way too strong for me. So you have to respect that, especially when you're doing aromatherapy, what's good for you, because it's so powerful the way it impacts your limbic system,
mm-hmm,
that it's not, what's good for you may not be great for another person.
Yes.
So I don't ever use it in the clinic. I encourage people to use it for themselves because it's powerful.
Yeah.
But if I have peppermint and I have somebody who follows that, you know, if I use that with one client, then I have somebody who comes in with anxiety. Well, peppermint's I'm going to have to peel them off the ceiling.
Yeah.
Same thing with somebody who's anxious and we, you know, saturate the room with lavender and the next person's coming in with depression.
Yes.
I'm going to have to scrape them off the floor. So I really value the impact of aromatherapy, but folks, please be respectful that what is good for you may not be good for everybody.
Right. Wow. We have a lot of people that have idiosyncratic reactions. That means they just don't respond the way the rest of the population might respond
and
to.
And we were talking about melatonin.
To either drugs or herbal and supplements. And melatonin was a really good example. Melatonin in general is what our body makes in order for us to be able to sleep well. And we can supplement melatonin also. But over supplementation in some people and just normal supplement, you know, normal dose supplements in some people will cause absolute anxiety and just hyper and hyper reactivity.
Right. So yeah. Some people have that opposite effect mm-hmm. where you can take a, you know, this it's the Ritalin for children who are hyperactive. It's giving a stimulant, a cocaine based drug to somebody who's hyperreactant and it calms them down. Yeah. So it's that like cures like kind of concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, melatonin's a perfect example that we talked about on the way over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where they can, you know, have a small dose and really it flips them and makes them more anxious. And they're like,
Well, because you don't have the precursor, you don't have the serotonin production first. Serotonin, we need serotonin first. The breakdown, my understanding in the brain is the L-tryptophan that converts into 5-hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP. That produces serotonin first before it converts into melatonin. And if you bypass that whole process and you go straight for the melatonin, you never calm down the mind. You just go to sleep. And so I tell people when they come in and say, I can't sleep. I said, can you not fall asleep or can you not stay asleep? Well, I cannot fall asleep. Okay. Can you not fall asleep because your mind is overactive or are you totally calm? Well, my mind is overactive. Okay. Well, you don't want to do melatonin. You know, if you cannot fall asleep or if you cannot stay asleep, but you wake up and your mind is overactive, don't take melatonin. So if the mind is overactive, the last thing you want to do is melatonin. We need to go back and try to calm the mind down first mm-hmm. before we do anything, because the body naturally wants to go with the circadian rhythm and wants to go to sleep when it is dark, when you know it's the end of the day. But the mind, as I said earlier, the mind is super powerful. It's the coach that talks to us 24/7. And it is the body that simply wants to respond. And the difference with a car, we are the driver, we are the brain of the car. But then when we don't feed the car fuel, it's not going to drive. And many people will live so much in their head and do so many things, they forget to fuel the system. So the system wants to go to bed. The mind isn't done talking yet. So people start having problems with sleep. And then they wake up wiped out in the morning. And so there is a lot of work that we have ahead of us when it comes to sleep.
Right. And there's Absolutely. So many things that people can do to have habits that will help their body produce that melatonin and nutritional things they can do to stimulate their pineal gland to produce that. And it has to do with light and, you know, cutting down your screen time and dimming your lights and changing yeah. your activity and changing, you know, I know people that go, I can't go to sleep at night. Well, I go to a heavy workout at 9 o'clock at
yeah,
night.
I know. I'm like, endorphins are just hello? Running like yeah. crazy. Right. Yeah.
What makes you think you would be capable yeah. of going to sleep at night? If you yeah.
this whole idea of sleep hygiene, of preparing yourself to sleep. And it's a routine kind of thing that you have to get into to really create the environment for good sleep.
Okay. Well, we have a caller. Caller, good morning. Thank you for joining the program today. What's your name? How can we help you, please?
It's Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you've been talking about serotonin, and I'm, you know, that's right a key.
Yes.
But something you haven't mentioned is that vitamin D actually controls how much serotonin the brain makes.
Vitamin and D from dog or vitamin B from Billy?
Dog, B3, okay? Yeah. So what happens is that you've talked about tryptophan and it being hydroxylated. That enzyme is the rate-limiting step, and the brain enzyme is stimulated by vitamin D. And if you don't, you know how, if you sit out in the sun or something, you feel a little more relaxed and so forth, well, a lot of people don't get enough vitamin D these days because they overuse, various kinds of high SPF creams. They, you know, they don't get out enough, so forth. You can take supplements or yeah. just fine. But vitamin D is really a key because most of your serotonin is made in your gut.
That's right.
But it doesn't get into the brain.
Okay? I see. Yes.
So if you have vitamin D, it reduces the amount in the gut and increases the amount in the brain. And it's really pretty amazing.
That's true, Ed. So, absolutely true. The other thing that I have found that really influences serotonin is intestinal parasites. So you have very happy parasites and very sad person, and that totally disrupts. And actually, any super infection that's in the gut will really disrupt that serotonin and disrupt the microbiome that's going on in the digestive tract. So the lymph that's in the gut, the serotonin and all the neurotransmitters that are balanced in the gut is just huge. And you're absolutely right, Ed. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. So it's a really, really a key, I think. And of course, many people don't get enough tryptophan in their diet because it's the most scarce amino acid, particularly people that are on a vegetarian diet. It makes it very hard for them to get enough tryptophan. So that's something that, you know, people should pay attention to. And it's kind of a tricky one.
Yes.
But I think it can be dealt with. Yeah.
Huh.
So, but vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D. Okay.
Good point.
You can do too much, but it's hard. It's hard. A lot of people don't absorb vitamin D very well. And
is that also related to the microbiome?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's skin, you know, ultraviolet light on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are taking, you know, various kinds of creams with high SPF values and they don't let their kids out without coating them, you know, you should actually get a little sunburn once in a while. You don't need a lot, but then you can use your high SPF cream after you get a little sunburn. Or you can take, if you're paranoid about that, you can take, vitamin D supplements. But I'll tell you one quick story. You know, you're getting to the end of your hour, I think, but, I've got a really good friend who's a bicycle racer. And he was worried about his vitamin D status because he, you know, there's always a risk of crashing and breaking a bone and so forth. So he had his vitamin D tested and it was really low. So he takes, started taking 5,000 IUs a day and it didn't really budget. And then he went up to 20,000 IUs a day and it didn't, you know, it came up a little. And then he went to 100,000 IUs a day to finally get his vitamin D up to a level. And he reduced, you know, he could cut back. But I mean, that's another thing that's individual. And I don't know what controls that.
Yeah.
But if you're having trouble with anxiety and things like that, having your vitamin D and your blood checked would be a good idea.
Absolutely.
Bye, bye, bye. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ed. All the best to you. All right. Yeah, he's always a wealth of wisdom here. Yeah.
No, with vitamin D, it's generally when somebody is found to be low, we generally supplement with 50,000 units
a day. That's right,
to begin
day. With. Yes.
I'm sorry. That's 50,000 units a week.
No, but it's not good
and
because it's
a prescription.
D2.
Well, and it's a prescription medication in order to get them up.
We got
to
go.